Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Christmas Eve. It's here. It's here. It's funny how we always talk about it and get ready for it, and then all of a sudden, here we are. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Christmas Eve. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. I will be here. I love doing Christmas Day. I mean, you know, considering I saw Christ, and even though, you know, there's a whole world argument about when his birthday is, it still is a celebration of that, and we are paying attention to that. So I love to do it. And in honor of that, yesterday I was having a conversation with my son, and we were talking about the soul. And the more we spoke about it, the more I knew there's a huge difference between your soul, and we all know about the brain and the mind, but also of your heart. And I didn't know what it was, but as we were talking, I realized that I was stuck there. Like, okay, what's the difference? And it's such a subtle topic. It's not like a big topic, like, you know, okay, how do you do this or how do you do that? It's not a how-to. And it's not even a feeling like, oh, but I feel this is my soul or I feel this is my heart. It's not that either. But it's a knowing. It's something we do know, whether we pay attention to it or not, once I wrote it. Because as we were talking, I was sitting in my office, and I have this rug in my office, so my son sits on that rug. He's like, sometimes just like a pet, you know, he loves to sit on the rug and talk to me. So we were, and then I said, okay, we can't talk anymore because I have to write this. And Christ wrote through me so quickly that I just wrote this in the time it took me to type it. And my question was, you know, this is about God and our souls. And why do we have souls? And how does being aware of our souls change our lives and our perspective towards life? Because we have way more depth than we can tap into in our lifetime. I knew that we have a huge capacity. Like, whatever you decide you want to learn, whatever you're interested enough in to put your time in without feeling like, oh, I have to do that, but you're just going for it. You have a huge capacity. And in this time of year, we feel it a lot because we're getting pushed. We have to see people, family, places we've come from. A lot of our past catches up to our future at Christmas time. And we see how much we've grown every year because every time we see people from our past in our present life, wow, we've come a long way. But when we talk to them, we find out that they also came a long way. And then we start seeing them different. As we mature, we see them differently. We respect them more. We don't look at them as, oh, that's just my Aunt Grace, but we say, oh, wow, my Aunt Grace had that going on that whole time. How did I not know that until now? Well, the bigger reasons are we probably just weren't interested enough until now. Our understanding, our awareness was not there. So, you know how everything has a job? Like, love is the strongest energy we have. It's the only energy that travels from home to Earth. It's the only one. Every time I say Earth, I think of spaceships and aliens and stuff, but none of that. It's just you and God. And so it's the only energy that travels when we pass. That's why people, when they die, they're actually at peace. And some fight it and until they're like, okay, this is people you get to see that are in a process of passing, not someone who dies instantly, because most of the time they don't even know what happened until it happens. But when you're with somebody who's ill or somebody who's older and you just see these stages, the first is resistance able to see them, you start to feel at peace with them. And you actually went because you were scared to see them, and then you leave going, wow, that was not what I expected, and that was really beautiful, and I can't believe it. I can't believe that this person who's dying comforted me when I went to go soul, something different. Why do we have a soul? And I have to just, I can't say it better than he did. So I'm going to read it to you, which I don't like to do on the show because I'm such a talker, but I have to because I don't know how else to put it into words. And he said, we talk about God. We think about God. We argue about God for God. We want to know God loves us. We want to believe there is something, someone, somewhere that is grander than all we see and know. Feeling God is another story. Feeling God is faith that whatever we see, we hear, and feel, there is a bigger place for our souls, and that is a breeding ground of experiences that tells us who we are when we are veiled from love. And we are on our own to find love through free will. And Christ, I'm injecting now and then I'll read some more, but I think he said to me, wiggle this way back to self-love. And it was like a stickler, like, hey, pay attention to this. It looks like a little thing you can overlook for the rest of your life. Like even, I used to always call myself a dork. I used to say, God, I'm such a dork. Oh, because I used to trip or slip or, you know, if there was anything that you could do that was a mishap, I pretty much found a way to do it. So I nicknamed myself a dork. And he said, stop doing that. And I did. It was the littlest thing. It was a way of self-depreciating. It was a way of me handling my own level of intelligence or lack of or whatever it was like my blanket excuse. But you know what happened over time? I stopped tripping, slipping, crashing, and whatever it was that you could do, doing. It just went away. So whatever that dorkiness that I named myself, I no longer was that person. And all I had to do was stop feeding that energy. Christ had a term for it, and he used to call it starve the dog. Whatever you don't give energy to will starve. You won't need it anymore. If there's a problem, and it's a perpetual problem we have with somebody, if we don't keep feeding it, if we say, hey, wait a minute, we've been arguing about that forever. Let's stop. I know how you feel about it. You know how I feel about it. I don't need to convince you to feel better about myself. I think I'm good. You would be shocked at the turn that relationship will take. That level of understanding and awareness that nobody has to think like you for you to like or love or care or live with them is a freedom in itself. But these are small movements, free will, with us trying to find love that we are veiled from. So we are like these, I know it's going to sound funny, love discoverers on earth. Some people call it love warrior. Some people call it my tribe. Some people, you know, there's a name for everything. But really, we're just always looking for the pockets of love. And we can't even begin to see them until we see personally how many pockets we live in. And in order to see that, we have to understand our soul. And there's a reason for it. So I'm going to keep going. God is all of us and each of us and all of us again. God is bigger than we can imagine, and as small as we do imagine it to our individual capacity and our capacity as a world to absorb such energy that asks nothing of us as we are asking everything of it, or else we are disillusioned as to what God is supposed to do or to be for us, with us, and because of us. And I thought about that. And then I thought about conversations I've had about God with people. Some people talk for him. Some people represent him. Some people represent themselves through him. You know, I saw Christ, so I'm like, hey, guys, this is what I saw, so I have my own thing. And everybody in some way, without realizing it or not, knows deep inside their heart that there is a huge connection to God. God is the only being, what, higher source, God, whatever you want to call him, that we have never seen, that we know is there. We know. There is no picture of God anywhere. And none of us can get away from the thoughts of God. Even if we are not acknowledging God, even if we are sprinkled around the earth so that we can have the discussions of whether or not there is a God or not. Every time I meet someone who's an atheist, I get really excited and happy because I love those discussions. I'm like curious, like how did you really find a way to cut that out? And what I find out is they didn't. They didn't find a way to cut it out. Everywhere they go, they try to convince themselves and others of what they believe. And the only ingredient that's missing in that conversation is that one person followed that gut instinct and the other person found a way to shut it off. It doesn't mean that they're good or bad, but part of their job is to keep the discussion going. Before I saw Christ, when I knew someone was an atheist, and I know it's going to sound funny, I kind of stayed away from them because I was scared that they were going to tell me something that was going to ruin my little world of how much I loved God. Even though I didn't see Christ yet, I didn't have proof of God. I remember being really little before I had any formal introduction to God from parents or neighbors or anyone else who was different in religion, because I was Muslim. There was nobody Muslim around me that I knew when I was younger. And I knew that there was someone bigger, something bigger. And I used to talk to him. I remember my parents wouldn't buy me a bike. 6 years old, and I lived where there were a lot of prairies, and I was running in a prairie one day, and I'm like, you know, I want a bike. Can I have a bike? And then I go, well, if I want something, that means everybody wants something. It might not be a bike. I mean, I wasn't that detailed, but I remember thinking that, because after that I said, you know, give everybody what they want. Give everybody what they want, because I really want a bike. But I didn't just want something for myself. So something innately came hardwired in me to know there was something bigger and someone to talk to. For some reason, it was there. What confused me was when I did hear about God from other people, because now I was getting other points of views about God. You know, the Catholics thought this, and the Baptists thought that, and the Muslims thought this. And I'm like, wow, some of us can drink, some of us can't. Some of us can eat pork, some of us can't. Some of us can dance, some of us can't. Why? And we're all going to the same place. So how did we figure out what was right and what wasn't right? Really interesting. So I'm going to continue reading. God is so far-reaching that we are all connected by our souls. Some of us feel our souls, talk to our souls, and some of us turned our souls off, and then we were able to hurt each other because we cannot feel our souls, and we do not dare speak to our souls. That's where I always wondered, how come someone's able to cross the line and hurt others, and some of us can't do it, can't even think of it? And when we do it, we feel horrible, and then we never want to do it again because we don't want to feel horrible again. But that's why. Some of us figured out how to shut that down so hard that we can't open the door to it. And as a result of it, consciousness, because our soul is our conscience. It's not our mind. Our mind can, everyone has a mind, everyone has a brain. But when we turn off our soul, our brain and our mind can do things that we normally wouldn't be able to do if our conscience were part of the process. That's one of the reasons why Christ said in Origins of Truth, taking drugs, anything that takes our conscious mind away from us, ultimately takes away from us, because without that, we don't have a boundary of what's okay and what isn't for ourselves, let alone for someone else. It's really interesting. I'm going to keep going. And our souls, our minds, and our hearts. Yes, we can sway our brains, we can sway our minds, and even our hearts, and ignore, put off, not listen to, be in fear of its strength, and using it as a last resort and resource. We can tell our hearts, play that out for the rest of our lives. I don't care about this. And I don't care. And I hear people always say, you know, who cares about other people? I've heard people tell me, literally flat out and be proud of it, I hate people. And I'm like, whoa, that's a big one, because you have to interact with people for the rest of your life. But that's where I understood the difference between a soul and our heart, mind, and brain. We can turn the other three in any direction we want to. We can even not listen to our souls, but our soul never, ever can be swayed. It will be there with our entire body of work, wherever our soul has been, whether it was at home with God or here or anywhere else. Every single experience that we have ever had in it. And it follows us everywhere. It is our compass. It is our barometer. And when we are close and in tune to the fact that we listen to that gut feeling we have of what's best for us, like, hey, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't eat that whole bag of Cheetos, because that eventually, if you eat that every day, is going to hurt you. Whether you want it to or not, you're eating and acknowledging that this isn't good for you, but you eat it. Well, what happens to your brain when you do something like that is, oh, it's okay to not take care of myself. It's nothing. These things, it's not hard to be close to God. What's hard is to be close to ourselves. And our soul is forever talking to us. The reason we have choices isn't because we want to live longer. No one's going to live to be 150 to 500 years old, because we are not meant to be here that long. So whatever we do, it all goes back to the choices we make that may ultimately be best for us, and understanding that one best choice creates another best choice, creates another best choice. And we become accustomed to making good choices for ourselves. Because our soul, it forces a sense of accountability, because it knows where we've been. to live on earth, we don't have to know our past lives and our future, and we don't have to know any of that while we're here. It's a distraction. When I hear people tell me, well, I was an Egyptian queen and my boyfriend was an Egyptian king and that's why we're together. And I heard that so much in the beginning of Facebook. And I go, how many queens and kings have there been? Or how many people were burned at the stake? Does it matter today? And what do we do with that information? And it was hard for me to hear because it wasn't connecting. I wasn't connecting to that information. It didn't mean it was bad information. It just didn't feel like it made sense because everybody who needed to feel ultra special was a king or a queen somewhere when I would talk to them. And in the beginning, I searched for a lot of people. I met many ways of thinking. And it drove each person's life the way it needed to drive that life to find the answers they came here to find. I never, ever needed to poke fun at anyone. And I really didn't want anyone to poke fun at me. And at the same time, it happens because people are like, well, you saw Christ, right? And I'm like, yeah, right. Like, for real, right. But that's okay. I learned to accept people who questioned me. And with Christ, I learned how to stand tall in my answers. I used to try to convince everybody, but, and then this, and then that. And I stopped doing that because I thought, what am I doing that for? It's exhausting me. And that's when I learned another thing Christ told me is that silence is a language. My knowing will say, well, that's what you believe. And I'm like, nope, that's not what I believe. That is truly what I know because I saw it. I literally saw it. So I know it. It's not a belief. It's a truth to me. And I want to share that truth because I didn't know this before I saw Christ, but I sure as heck found out afterwards. And not many people saw him. When it happened to me, easily, I thought a lot of people must have seen him. How could they not have? It wasn't like I was sitting alone and the whole room shook. I was in a restaurant and my body felt a little different to see him, to be able to accommodate his energy. But at the same time, that was months of preparation now that I look back. It didn't just happen out of nowhere. I knew something was going on. I could never have guessed ever in my wildest dreams that it would have been what it was. But around this time, on Christmas Day, literally on Christmas Day, which was in April, so you got to think from December to April 11th, I knew I was being prepared for something. I didn't know what it was. But I knew something was different in me. And I did not feel alone, which was the weirdest part of it. But that day, I went to a Christmas party. You want to talk about the knowing of the soul. I knew something was different in me, but I couldn't acknowledge it because I didn't know how to put my finger on it. I didn't have a word to slap over it so I can say, but I knew. My mind felt different. My body felt different. I felt this energy of just I could go all day kind of energy. And that day, I was wearing my sweats, no makeup, my hair was in a ponytail, I wasn't done yet, and I went to the house of the party to drop off my portion of the food and then come back home to change and get ready to go back to the party. And when I got there, she needed so much help, I ended up staying at that party. The way I was dressed, all I had was red lipstick in my purse and whatever I had on, and everyone came in dressed up, and I was in my sweats that day. And I have to tell you, it was such a cool feeling because I felt like I was exempt from having to be dressed up because at this point there was nothing I can do. And I wasn't used to being where anyone saw me like that. And here I was with a bunch of people that I knew and didn't know like that. And that day, after we ate and I cleaned up and I felt like between the help and a participant at the party, I went to go home. And when I was walking to my car, this guy, he was 24 years old, and he was the nephew of Card. He scared me because I'm like, oh, wow, you know, because he's the one guy I really didn't know in this party. He was serving in the Army, and he was back home. I think he was done with his time there. And he followed me, and he said, can I tell you something? And I said, what? Because now I'm thinking I'm in the dark with someone I don't know who followed me out of a party. So not good things to be thinking. And he said, there's a white light around you. I can see it. And I'm like, a white light? And he's like, yeah. He goes, can I talk to you? Can we go somewhere and talk? I said, you know what? I'm really tired right now because now I'm scared of him. And I gave him my business card, and I said, listen, I'll be at work tomorrow. Why don't you give me a call tomorrow if you still want to talk? Because I didn't know if liquor was talking. I don't know if he was talking. I wasn't sure what just happened. But deep inside, it coincided with that feeling I had. But I couldn't believe it yet. So then I go home, and the next day, I was at work, and I was waiting for his call because I was curious by then. I was very curious. And what happened was he didn't call me that next day, but he called me the following day. Wow, I thought you were going to call me yesterday. I kept feeling like you were going to call. He said, I was right on the phone, and I couldn't just call you. And I don't know why. And I said, I felt it all day long. I'm glad you called. And we met. And then he started talking to me about what was going on. Him and his platoon were ambushed. And he was the only one who didn't die. And he was having a hard time. And he was one of the first people Christ sent to me before I even knew Christ was there. And I helped him through that. He wasn't sleeping for months. And he was the first person I was written through, but I didn't know where it was coming from. And he was the beginning of that preparation. He now is married, has two boys. He's doing great. I just saw him. He lives in another state, but he came back to visit in the summertime, and I got to meet his wife and his kids and a whole different world. And on that note, you guys, Merry Christmas for tomorrow. I will see you tomorrow morning. I love you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.